In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us kneel. O Divine Spirit and Paraclete, we adore Thee, and with hearts overflowing, we give Thee thanks that Thou hast, with such great love for us, wrought the ineffable blessing of the incarnation of the Word of God, a blessing which is being continually extended and enlarged in the most august sacrament of the Eucharist. By this adorable mystery of the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, do Thou grant unto us and all poor sinners Thy holy grace. Pour forth Thy holy gifts upon us and upon all redeemed souls, and in an especial manner upon the visible head of the Church, the Supreme Roman Pontiff, upon all cardinals, bishops, and pastors of souls, upon priests, and all other ministers of Thy sanctuary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, Jesus makes a promise to His disciples. Jesus is always faithful to His promises. He promises to send to them from the Father the Spirit of Truth. Why? So that they will give testimony of Him. This is at the very heart of the mystery of salvation. That is, the apostles. And it's the apostles, not anyone. The apostles receive the Holy Ghost to preach the truth and to give testimony to Jesus Christ. Never forget that this is the first and the foundational outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's the first and the foundational. Every other outpouring that there is of the Holy Ghost has to be based on this and has to lead towards this, that the Holy Ghost is poured upon the apostles. It's Jesus' promise. We hear it in the Gospel today. And why? So that they, not anyone, the apostles and their successors, so that they will teach in His name, govern in His name, and sanctify in His name. The apostles and their successors are teaching in the person of Christ and governing in His person and sanctifying in His person. That's why, as I mentioned last Sunday, that's why we should always ask ourselves, when we have questions about our faith, when we're wondering how we should be living our faith, we should always ask ourselves first, what does Peter say? What does the church say? The apostles are the ones who have been given the Holy Ghost so that they can give testimony of Jesus Christ. Always ask yourselves and get into the habit of doing this, what does the Catholic Church teach? Whatever the question is, what does the Catholic Church teach? For example, what does it mean to love? How should we live our marriage? How should we educate our children? How should we spend our money? What should we do when we wake up in the morning? What should we do when someone offends us? What should we do when someone is sinning? How should we dress and practice modesty? The response to all of those questions has to begin, what does the church teach? That's why Jesus promised the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, so they could teach the truth in His name. This is the mystery of our salvation. The truth is still with us. Jesus is still with us in the person of His apostles. And never forget this. That's why the New Testament is inspired by the Holy Ghost. The New Testament is inspired by the Holy Ghost because the New Testament is the work, the written work of the apostles. And it's because the apostles were given the Holy Ghost that then their writings are inspired by the Holy Ghost. Back to those questions, though, just so that you'll begin to get a feel for what you should be doing, whatever aspect of your life that it has to do with. What does it mean to love? What does the Catholic Church teach? As I mentioned, she teaches to love means to keep God's commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Anyone who wants to love has to keep God's commandments. The Church, obviously, along those lines also teaches us that to love means to die to yourself in order to be able to get souls to heaven. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. How should we live our marriage? Catholic Church teaches, procreate and educate your children in the faith. That's what we should be doing in living our marriage. How should we educate our children? The Catholic Church doesn't tell us primarily that education of children to be worried about, you know, scholarships and, you know, the best schools and all these things. How should we educate our children? She says, teach your children to love and revere God and to keep His commandments. And that's what parents should be doing when they're educating their children. Teaching them to love and revere God and to love His commandments and to keep His commandments. How should we spend our money? The Catholic Church teaches us the importance of tithing, of being generous in supporting God and His Holy Church. What should we do when we wake up in the morning? The Catholic Church teaches us our morning prayers. What should we do when someone offends us, when someone sins against us? Remember one of the spiritual works of mercy, forgive all injuries. We shouldn't be living our lives just based on what our initial reaction is, or what other people are doing, or what's more comfortable. What does the Catholic Church teach? If someone offends you, you forgive all injuries. What should we do when someone is sinning? The Catholic Church doesn't say when someone is sinning, love the sinner and pretend there's no sin. The Catholic Church doesn't say when someone is sinning, well, don't worry about it because God is merciful. The Catholic Church teaches the first spiritual work of mercy. Admonish the sinner. Correct the sinner. Help the sinner. Die to yourself and help souls get to heaven. Love one another. Keeping God's commandments. Someone isn't keeping God's commandments, you do your very best to help them so that they will keep God's commandments. All of these are just examples how in every aspect of our life, every aspect, we have to strive more and more to ask ourselves, what does the Catholic Church teach? It is not a question primarily of what I think or what you think or what society is doing or what's more comfortable. Now for the big question that we're going to be using as an example. I'm going to use this as an example today and also next Sunday. The question, how should we dress and practice modesty? The way that we dress, the way that we practice modesty is not primarily a question of what you think or what's comfortable for you or what the fashions are in the world outside or, well, it's hot and so this is the way that I'm going to dress. Primarily, the answer must be, what does the Catholic Church teach? And the Catholic Church teaches very specific things about modesty and about the way that we must dress specifically for the women. This is what I'm going to be addressing again. I'll begin to do this morning, but especially next Sunday. Please keep it within the context of what we're talking about. Every aspect of our life has to be governed and we have to submit to what does the Catholic Church teach? That's why the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. They are the teachers of the truth, and they are teaching in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and their successors continue to do that to this day, touching every single aspect of our lives. We must submit ourselves 100% to the reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you one quote, and this is something that was said by the successor of St. Peter. What does Peter say? Pope Pius XII, in an address to a Catholic young women's group of Italy, roughly about 50 years ago, with regard to modesty. This has not changed. There's been no pope that since then, in the last 50 years, has said, okay, Catholics, what Pope Pius XII said 50 years ago doesn't apply anymore. And this is what Pope Pius XII said. The good of our soul is more important than that of our body. And we have to prefer the spiritual welfare of our neighbor to our bodily comforts. Please, everybody remember these words of the Holy Father. These apply especially to women in the way that they dress. We have to prefer the spiritual welfare of our neighbor to our bodily comforts. I'm getting out of the quotation here. The vast majority of people today, and the vast majority of Catholics, they live based on bodily comfort. That's a pagan way of living. You don't live your life based on bodily comfort. And you don't dress based on bodily comfort. One of the tragedies in our church today is this is one of the places where you see it. People think they have a right to dress any way they want. We have to prefer the spiritual welfare of our neighbor to our bodily comforts. Make sure you especially remember this during summer. Then the quote continues, Pope Pius XII. If a certain kind of dress constitutes a grave and proximate occasion of sin and endangers the salvation of your soul and others, it is your duty to give it up. O Christian mothers, if you knew what a future of anxieties and perils, of ill-guarded shame, you prepare for your sons and daughters, imprudently getting them accustomed to live scantily dressed and making them lose the sense of modesty, you would be ashamed of yourselves, and you would dread the harm you are making of yourselves, the harm which you are causing these children, whom heaven has entrusted to you, to be brought up as Christians. End quote. There are many more. There's plenty that Peter says. There's plenty that the Holy Catholic Church teaches with regard to modesty. Please make sure that everybody, this means every single one of you, for your homework, make sure that you read very carefully everything that's written in the bulletin under dressing modestly. We have to put this into practice. There are still many, I would say, plenty of women, but not just the women. We have plenty of people that are not following what is in the bulletin. It's not that difficult to get your bulletin out and read it carefully. Make sure that you're following these guidelines, especially parents. Make sure that your children are following the guidelines. There's a special one that says parents. Make sure that these things are being followed. At the bottom, you have references from the documents that have come from Rome in regard to this. All of the norms that are here in the bulletin, these are not my personal ideas or my personal thoughts. It has nothing to do with me. If you have any doubts, go to those documents. We'll also make an effort to quote some more of those in the weeks and also in the bulletins to come. As a kind of introduction to what I'm also going to say next Sunday, I want to emphasize the importance of the message of Fatima. One of the reasons is because just several days ago, on May the 13th, we celebrated the beginning of the apparitions of Our Lady in Fatima. Again, just this past Thursday was exactly 93 years ago that Our Lady appeared in Fatima. And the message of Fatima has something very specific also to say about modesty. And it has something very specific to say also about modern fashions. And I'll get to those next Sunday. But to prepare for that, very important that we realize the message of Fatima is one of the most important messages for our times. And we could summarize the message of Fatima by saying it's a message about eternity. Don't forget this. Everybody remember this. You just have to remember one word. Fatima is about eternity. Everything that Our Lady is saying, and she also says some specific things, like she says some specific things about modesty, it's within the perspective of eternity. That's why Fatima, very important things are revealed to us about heaven and hell. Because the message has to do with eternity. Our Blessed Mother loves us so much that her main preoccupation is that we please God and that one day we get to heaven. And that's why we could say also that the message of Fatima is the Mother of God is coming to tell us about the danger of eternal damnation. And she's saying, many souls, many poor souls are going to hell. Eternity. And she also comes to tell us as a very, very loving mother. She comes to tell us what we must do to gain the eternal salvation of our souls. And that's why she says, for example, to pray the rosary. That's why she says to practice the devotion of the first five Saturdays. Because she's looking out for the spiritual welfare of her children. And she comes to show us the way to heaven. I'm going to conclude this morning with just two very important examples of this. Remember them very carefully, because what we want to do for next Sunday is we want to apply this very important perspective of eternity to the issue of modesty and how we should dress modestly as Catholics. This is from the first apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary on May 13th, 1917. It was a lady dressed all in white, Lucia records, more brilliant than the sun, shedding rays of light, clear and stronger than a crystal glass, filled with the most sparkling water, pierced by the burning rays of the sun. "Fear not," the lady said, "I will not harm you." "Where are you from?" Lucia made bold to ask. "I am from heaven," the beautiful lady replied, raising gently her hand towards the distant horizons. "What do you want of me?" Lucia humbly asked. "I come to ask you to come here for 6 consecutive months, on the 13th day at this same hour. I will tell you later who I am and what I want, and I shall return here again a 7th time. Listen carefully, because here comes, let's say, the first question of Lucia. She doesn't ask the Blessed Mother for a pretty dress. She doesn't ask the Blessed Mother if she's going to get a new car. She doesn't ask the Blessed Mother if she's going to go to the best university. What does Lucia ask the Mother of God? "Am I too going to go to heaven?" Lucia asked. That's her question to the Mother of God. "Everything you're doing, my dear children, what you're doing when you're waking up, how you're living your marriage, the way that you're dressing, what you do when someone offends you, that's the question you need to be asking. Am I going to get to heaven based on what I'm thinking, how I'm treating others, how I'm spending my money, how I'm dressing?" "Yes, you shall," the lady assured her. Look at the next question. "And Jacinta?" "Yes." "And Francisco?" "He too shall go, but he must say many rosaries," the lady responded. Don't ever forget this answer of the Mother of God. "He too will go." We're talking about an innocent boy who's pretty holy, by the way. And the Blessed Mother says, many rosaries. You better get yourself moving, because you have a lot of rosaries to pray, many sacrifices to make. You have a lot of work to do in order to get to heaven. That's what we as Catholics should be doing. And then listen to the questions that follow. Lucia asked some more questions of the lady. Two girls who used to come to her house to learn sewing from her sisters had recently died. Lucia wanted to find out about them too. "And Maria do Rosario, daughter of José das Neves, is she in heaven?" "Yes," the lady replied. Notice how all her preoccupation is, who's going to heaven? Parents, that's what you should be doing, especially for your husband, your wife, or your children. What do I have to do to get to heaven? And then her next question, "And Amelia," her other friend, "and Amelia?" "She is still in purgatory." The response of the Mother of God. Notice here how the perspective of eternity is opening up before us. Heaven, purgatory, and in a few moments, hell. She is still in purgatory. Lucia's eyes filled with tears. How sad that her friend Amelia was suffering in the fires of purgatory. And then we'll conclude by just listening again to the words of Lucia from the third apparition. This is the third apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. It took place on July the 13th, 1917. This took place. It was not something that is dreamed up. July 13th, 1917, Our Lady tells them, "Sacrifice yourselves for sinners, and say often, especially when you make some sacrifice, 'O my Jesus, it is for love of Thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that I offer this sacrifice to Thee.'" As Our Lady said these words, Lucia later described the scenes. She opened her hands again as she had done the two previous months. The light reflecting from them seemed to penetrate into the earth, and we saw as if into a sea of fire, and immersed in that fire were devils and souls with human form, as if they were transparent black or bronze embers floating in the fire and swayed by the flames that issued from them, along with clouds of smoke falling upon every side, just like the falling of sparks in great fires, without weight or equilibrium. Amidst wailing and cries of pain and despair that horrified and shook us with terror, we could tell the devils by their horrible and nauseous figures of baleful and unknown animals, but transparent as the black coals in a fire. Frightened, deathly pale, the little ones raised their eyes to Our Lady for help, as Lucia cried out, "Oh, Our Lady!" Our Lady explained, "You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wants to establish throughout the world the devotion to My Immaculate Heart. Remember always, dear Catholics, to save those poor souls from hell, God established Holy Mother Church. That's why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Father poured out the Holy Ghost upon the apostles, so that they would always be able to teach the truth in His name for the salvation of souls. And what the Church teaches for the salvation of soul touches every single aspect of our lives. Next Sunday we're going to look more specifically as to how that truth touches upon modesty and how we're supposed to dress modestly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.